everybody. It's lovely to be able to stand and be with our church family this morning. When I was in that corner there with my two baby beans, as a mum or a dad or a grandparent or a carer, it was at this point in the service that I break into a cold sweat, thinking, how am I going to keep my child quiet all the way through the service? But I just want to say, because it's not a children's talk this morning, please don't worry about the noise. Please don't worry about people moving around. I won't be put off. Maybe I'll put you off. I don't know. But yeah, just relax as I'm talking. So, this morning we reflect on one of the most powerful and most transformative moments in the life of the church, and that's Pentecost. 50 days after Easter, the disciples were gathered in Jerusalem. They were waiting, as Jesus had told them, but they had no idea what they were waiting for. They'd seen the risen Christ, but he descended, and now they're in this strange in-between time. And then it happened. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. That's in Acts. Tongues of fire came and rested upon each of them. Can you imagine what that must have been like? How frightening and how exciting and how just nobody would understand what was going on. And the same disciples who had been hiding in fear now stood boldly in the streets, speaking in different languages, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And this, as we've already heard this morning, was the birth of a church. Not a building, not a denomination, but a movement of people filled with the Spirit of God going out into the world to love, to serve, and to witness. So this morning, I would like us to look at three things that I think are Pentecost challenges. Bear with me. What do I do with this one? On. Next one, please. I don't know what I'm doing. Is it working? No, there we go. There we go. That one. No, that's okay. That's good. Great. Do you feel too ordinary to be of any use to God? What should the church really look like? And what stops you from loving like Jesus? So my first question is, do you feel too ordinary to be of any use to God? Does anybody here feel extraordinary this morning? That's the question. No, I don't. Honestly, I'm going to be really honest now. I'm terrified about doing this morning because I'm just an ordinary person. And many of us feel like, you know, God won't use me. I'm not holy enough. I don't read the Bible enough. I don't actually know it enough. And I'm really scared if I step out, I'm going to make a right proper fool of myself. There's still time for me this morning. But the really great news is that God uses the ordinary. Next slide, please. There we go. The disciples weren't scholars. They weren't saints. They were just fishermen, tax collectors, and some of them even skeptics. But when the Holy Spirit came on them, they became powerful witnesses. Pentecost reminds us that we don't need to be perfect to be used by God, and what a relief that is. We just need to be willing and obedient to his calling. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel it really hard to know, is that the Holy Spirit? Sometimes I might think, oh, I better test that. Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm a bit goosebumpy. Maybe I better do that. I better do it now. And sometimes I just know, and something doesn't leave my head until I act on it. And that doesn't mean that I get it right every time, and sometimes I get it wrong. But I think when we step out in obedience and willingness, God understands if we're trying to serve him, especially when we're trying to love others. Can I have the next slide, please? It there? Right, I'm going to tell you a bit of a story. And this isn't about, look at me, aren't I amazing? This is about God used me, of all people, to do this. And is Sarah here this morning? Sarah was in the congregation at the time. We were sitting in a tiny little church in rural India, in Bihar, in a little place called Muzaffarpur. And I was sitting, taking that photograph, and that's our boss, Peter, when all of a sudden, my arms and my legs started shaking, and I thought, something's coming. And God said to me, really clearly, you need to get up and do an altar call. And I'm like, please, Lord, don't make me do this. I've never done this before in my life. I don't know what words to use. I can't do this. Can you get someone else to do it? I don't want to do it. And it was there over and over again. Peter came down and sat next to me. He said, what's wrong with you, Lou? I said, I need to go and make an altar call. He's like, get up and do it. And bearing in mind, this is India, where you can get into a lot of trouble for doing this sort of work. I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. So I was like, you're going to have to give me the words, Lord. So I got up to the front and I gave a bit of my testimony. And I told people about this most amazing gift that was free and that was there for them today. And I thought, oh, I just know I've made such a mess of that, Lord. So I just said, everybody close their eyes. And if you, if you'd like to receive this gift, please raise your hand. And I just opened one eye. I thought, come on, Lord, come on, come on. And one hand went up and then another hand and then another hand. And there were about five. And at which point I was crying my eyes out because I thought, I can't actually believe this. I still feel a bit emotional now. And then after that service, we were able to go through and pray with lots of different people. Now, bear in mind, these were Hindus. Bear in mind, these people were Hindus. This wasn't a good thing. We'd got patients. I mean, it was a great thing, but it's not something people generally do. And I just, you know, afterwards it gave me such encouragement to think, oh, even me, who's like the biggest sinner ever, God will use us when we listen to the Holy Spirit and we're obedient.
Amen.
Yeah. So, what page am I on? 3. See, right. So I hope this encourages you that if I of all people can do this, you know, you can do it too. And the second thing that I want to talk about is, you know, the church is not a building. It's not a denomination. It's a group of people. And so therefore, what should our church really be like? And the Holy Spirit enabled the disciples to speak in many different languages. And Jewish texts will say that was about 70 different languages, so that people from every background and every nation could understand the amazing message about Jesus. The thing about that, I've been reading as I've been doing lots of prep for this, is that this wasn't just a miracle of speech. It was a miracle of inclusion. The Holy Spirit was breaking down walls, cultural beliefs, different systems, Pharisaical rules, and it was bringing people together. So if Pentecost shows us God's heart of inclusion, what does it tell us about how we as a church should look to people outside who are looking in, to people who are wondering what's going on in here this morning? So have a look around you. What does church look like right now? Is it predominantly white? Is it middle class? Is it very comfortable? Is it safe? Is it a place for just Good Sunday people? The church should be seen as a hospital, shouldn't it? That's what we're here for. A rehab clinic, a place of refuge, a place where people can get help. But you know, not every church you see is a place where people can get help. Sometimes churches can be no more than museums, or country clubs even. But God has called the church to be a place, a ministry of reconciliation. And Jesus died on the cross so that people can be reconciled back to God. Humans were created to love God and to have a relationship with God. It's not a fun club. I mean, it is a bit of a fun club. We have fun, don't we? But it's not just a club. So maybe sometimes we've got to stop treating it like one. The person smoking outside the church doors, the woman in inappropriate clothing, the homeless chap who doesn't smell very fresh, the person with a different sexual orientation, the one who looks different to us or has a challenging behaviour because of poor mental health, these are all children of God. And wouldn't it be nice if, like, at Peter's garage on Cherry Holt Road and other garages are available, there was a great big service desk that you could take people to and say, here, they don't work, they're broken, they don't fit in, torn, dented, cracked, rusty, take them back, fix them. But the church has a master fixer right here. The question is, are we open for business? I'm praying, I don't know about you, for God to send us broken people, hurting people, lost people, people that others just throw away. And God doesn't look at the size of a church. It's great to have a big church, don't get me wrong, okay? But he looks at the availability of the church and the willingness of the church. But to be willing, now comes the hardest part and the final challenge this morning. We have to love like Jesus. So what stops you loving like Jesus? And I love that. I'm not going to be able to read it now, am I? I've forgotten where it is now. Help me out. Thank you. Yeah. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, and I give over my body to hardship so that I can boast, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. Bear with me. Corinthians 1:13 is a serious reminder, really. I laugh at it sometimes, but it's actually really serious. We can look like really great Christians, can't we, on the outside? We can do all sorts of good and impressive churchy things. We might be able to speak in tongues, etc. But all of this is worthless if we don't have love. You can tell people about Jesus until you're blue in the face. You can stand outside and preach at people till you are blue in the face. Like a real resounding gong, actually. But people need to see and experience the love of Jesus. And they need to see it in you. It's your job to show people the love of Jesus. You might be the only Jesus they'll ever see. You might be the only Bible that they will ever read. Now, none of us are perfect, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, we should be striving to live as we preach. Otherwise, what's the point? Working at the leprosy mission, I'm not sure I've got a slide for this. Yeah, I have, yeah. Working at the leprosy mission, I've seen the effect of rejection, of isolation, of judgment, of being unseen and being forgotten. And of course, for these people, they need medicine to fix them. But the biggest transformation comes when they know and they are shown that they are loved and valued. And this is the same for us as Christians. It's no good telling people about Jesus if you don't show them something of Jesus' love. Because when you do that, their heart opens. Just think about someone you find it really hard to like, let alone love for a moment. We all have someone, don't we? Let's be honest. Maybe it's the odd one out in the family. Maybe it's someone who, in earthly terms, no one would really expect us to like. Maybe because of their behaviour. Maybe because of your experiences with them. Maybe because of the things we've been told. Maybe it's just because they're different to us, hold different values, hold different beliefs, different lifestyle, different faiths. We all carry unconscious bias from the things that we've learned and grown up with. What is stopping us from loving like Jesus? Have we lost patience with people? Are we internally boasting that we're better than them? And that's such an easy thing to do, isn't it? Or do we envy them? Are we angry and can't forget the wrongs that they've done? Has experience made us look at them with distrust? Have we been hurt? Have we simply given up because we think they're not worth it? And this really spoke to me as I was preparing. So this is for me as much as anybody else. Or are we simply too busy, like clanging cymbals, doing our godly things, giving to the poor, serving the church with a faith that can move mountains? It's really challenging, isn't it? But the truth is that God sees the beauty in the person that makes you turn your nose up. He sees their potential as a child. He longs to heal them, to show them that they are loved and that they're forgiven. He died for them, just like he died for you. And we aren't going to heaven because we're better than anybody else. We're going to heaven because we have the grace. We have the grace of Jesus and because he loved us. Let's go back again. So this morning, we've been reminded that God equips the ordinary. We just have to be willing and obedient. We've reminded that Pentecost was a miracle of inclusion. Church and Jesus is for everyone, and church should be a place of refuge for everyone. And we've been challenged that in order to make this happen, we have to love like Jesus. And I'd like to end this morning by playing a song. And as you listen to the lyrics, why not ask the Holy Spirit to show you where you need to love like Jesus? And where is God calling you to speak boldly, to love radically, and to live faithfully?